Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful Soldiers of Patriotism on a special night, on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday night for you all in America, and just felt the need to touch base with you all and kind of see how you're thinking and feeling. Of course, I did call this Hearts and Minds for a reason, because you know, you all feel, you all seem to need to express yourselves, and I wanted to provide a place for you to do that tonight. So definitely, feel free to call in to our show, and you do know the number, and if you don't, it's area code 718-305-7176. I do have along with me a wonderful special co-host today, Billy Cotter. And Billy, how are you doing tonight on this great night?
Oh, I'm doing just fine so far. Still okay. In mourning, so to speak, over Rick's bowing out, but we're, you know, holding on.
Yeah, me too. But it's, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm going to read a little bit of a commentary that I wrote, and some people may have seen it. I did post it in the Standing for Santorum Facebook group yesterday, and so I want to just read a little of that and maybe give people a little bit of an idea of the purpose of the show, and you know, perhaps give them something that if they do want to speak, they, you know, maybe can work off of this. I don't know, but so basically, what I wrote about was there had been someone that had written a blog, and someone else disagreed with it and asked me to speak to the person that wrote it, and I had a disagreement, and I guess you could say. So basically, what I wrote is that, you know, that there were about 100 comments or more on that post, and I just didn't really not have time to go through all that. I have a job and, you know, other things in my life that are pressing, much more pressing than that. And so pretty much how I started is, I do love you people, and my heart hurts that we are falling into this morass, this swamp, in other words. Our problem is twofold. One, the human mind and heart are delicate organs. Although we all have been gifted by our Creator, we don't all process information the same way. So the conference call with Rick the other night that I heard or you heard, it may not be the same one that someone else heard. Number two, Facebook culture begs us to take a shortcut. We become so used to the quick, to commenting on a post based only on a cursory glance at the intro snippet. But that's not right, and it isn't fair to the writer of this particular blog. So let me share with you a couple paragraphs in particular. Quote, I was able to vote for Rick in my primary here in Florida, and it felt good to be able to do that. So I understand how disappointed many of you are who still have a primary or caucus coming up. I say, vote however you feel like when it's your turn. After August, I have every intention of supporting whoever the GOP nominee is in hopes of defeating President Barack Obama, and encourage others to do the same. I hear many other Republicans say they will not support Romney if he's the nominee. in black and white reality, I don't believe that's the right thing to do, and I do believe God would frown upon us doing nothing in this matter. If we allow the enemy to discourage us from supporting the Republican nominee and from voting in November, the enemy will have won a major battle, unquote. Now, read carefully, please, especially that the first paragraph, and especially I ask you to reread this. I say vote however you feel like when it's your turn. Did you catch that? He's saying that you should vote for Rick if you choose to. I also think it's important for people to remember that this person is a values voter. He states it quite plainly in his blog, and as far as I know, he hasn't changed in that respect. What also must be heard, folks, is that the system's broken. The system chose Romney, maybe as long as 4 years ago. Is anyone asking you to be happy about this? No. Is anyone who's on what you may consider now the other side happy about this? No. Yet you claw and bite and treat your friends as if they are. We're all let down, sad, and discouraged to a certain extent, but there's a reason to be hopeful. It may take some time to see that light, that opening in the dark clouds, but it's there. Conservatism didn't start in this cycle, and it won't be left to wither in this cycle. And I pray that you, as the steady, capable grassroots that Senator Rick Santorum depended on in this campaign, will rise above the pain and the loss evinced by his departure. I'm trying to do this myself, and I ask God for the strength and the discernment to know how to proceed in November. So God bless the grassroots, Rick Santorum, and this great republic. And thank you all, patriots, and thank you, Billy, of course, for taking the time to be a part of the show today, too. It's, you know, you really are, you know, when I first started with Michael on the show, you were a real inspiration to me, and I want to make sure that you knew that, you know, yourself. Aww. and also Brenda, Brenda Ward, another one of our great Conservative Nation radio hosts. And go ahead and talk about your shows. And I'll just for a moment, I'll go ahead and pick up a couple of these calls, or one of the calls. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, my show, Nobomination, is on. Right now, I've been reworking it. It had been every Friday, and it was at 7 p.m. at Central. But I'm reworking it, and I'm doing two shows a week now on Thursdays and Fridays, and they're both going to start at 8. And depending on my listener base, I'm going to go for 1 hour at least and probably 2 hours both shows if the base picks up instead of slows down or anything. But it's on right here, Conservative Nation Radio, same bat channel, same, you know, link, so to speak. On Thursdays and Fridays, it'll be 8 p.m. Central Time. I'm not completely sure about the other time zones, but I think that would be 7 p.m. Eastern and 10 p.m. Or no, wait. It would be 9 p.m. Eastern, and it would be 6 p.m. Pacific. So that'll be on Thursdays and Fridays, and we're going to try working that out for 2 days a week. Women Patriots, I'm the co-host of that show as well, and that's every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central. And we're just going to get, like I said, on Nobomination is basically where I invite anybody and everybody to call in and vent as much as they want about the presidency, the administration. Right now there's quite a bit to vent about, you know, if you want to talk about the Secret Service or GSA, or, you know, I like to watch a lot of C-SPAN, so I've been watching all those committee hearings.
Oh, wow.
And
I haven't had a chance to see them. I saw a few, but I saw where the guy was up there, and he was pleading the fifth on everything. I thought that was...
Oh, my goodness. That's Jeff Neely, and he's, like, the biggest waster of our tax dollars of all, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
He actually had a birthday party for his wife on the taxpayer's dime. I think they went to, I want to say, Hawaii, And that in itself was like $143,000 that they're not counting into.
I don't know what you're, I don't know what it was. It was someplace like that. It wasn't Hawaii. I don't think it was somewhere like Tahiti or somewhere.
Right. It was like the Pacific Islands or something, you know. And he was supposed to pay for that out of his own dime. You know, this is a guy, he held two offices in the GSA, and they still to this day are not sure whether he was getting two paychecks, one for each office. But each of them, one was like a $174,000 job a year, and the other was a $179,000 job a year. And he was his own boss. He wrote his own checks. You know, basically.
Well, we have somebody from the Santorum Grassroots that's calling in, so I want to go ahead and bring Danny on. Now, this is Danny. He's, you know who he is, but I want to make sure everybody knows that he's one of our regular Patriot friends. And hey, Danny, how are you doing tonight?
All right. How y'all doing?
Pretty good.
We're good.
Pretty good. How's the bluegrass treating you tonight?
Well, the weather's nice.
That's true.
Is it better than it had been?
Do what?
It warmed up a little. We have about the same weather. I'm in Cincinnati. It's not much different. It's like 60 something today, right?
Oh,
we're talking about
Kentucky.
The weather.
I was thinking Kansas.
Oh no, he's in Kentucky. Hey, Danny, what do you think of what's going on here in the grassroots? Give me your thoughts and feelings, Patriot.
Well, I'm going to vote for Rick in the Kentucky primary.
All right.
And if I have to hold my nose and vote for the nominee in November, I will, because we don't need Obama putting anybody on the Supreme Court or any more executive orders or anything. I mean, the Republicans in the House and Senate don't have the backbone to stand up to him, so we're kind of between a rock and a hard place.
Sure. Sure, we are, and we, you know, are you going to be working for Senate and House candidates, or are you kind of just, you know, what have you been doing now since Santorum, you know, did his, you know, kind of ended his campaign like that?
Well, I'm still campaigning for, I don't know, 8 or 10 conservative candidates in various races across the U.S.
Wow. All right. Well, that's wonderful.
I still have my Rick Santorum sign in my yard.
Well, I still have
I
our bumper sticker. We have Santorum. I was wearing my sweater vest today. So, you know.
Oh, and Dan Bongino, that's running for Senate in Maryland, he used to be in Secret Service, and they was interviewing him today.
Yeah.
Because his brother was over there with the Secret Service, but he wasn't one of them that was implicated. But a yard in the background had a Rick Santorum sign.
Good job.
Cool. I was just seeing there's somebody named We Pick Rick in the chat room. Is that Dan or Dave? Somebody in Oregon.
I have no idea, but there was someone who said they cannot change it.
It's Sandra. Oh, okay. I don't know
radio
about them being in Oregon, so that kind of surprised me. I'm sorry about that, Sandra. Thank you for that, for Billy. And Emily, just to address what she just mentioned in the chat room, really the orders for the sweater vest, I don't know much about the ordering of the different things. But I know that really they take the orders in the way that they come in, you know, kind of if it goes in and, you know, it's really first come, first serve type thing. I basically got my sweater vest not very much long ago, and it was because of making calls to South Carolina. So that maybe give you an idea. Maybe they're just flooded with the orders.
You know, speaking of orders, this is something that was funny about those GSA things. One of the congressmen, when they were questioning the administrator who stepped down, he kind of like yelled at her and said, listen, you know, when I saw that the bill was so high, I was hoping it was because they were ordering, at least ordering from America, all this stuff. And he's like, look, he brought up all the little trinkets they ordered, and every one of them said made in China. And he's just like, he's like making, he's like throwing a fit about it. It was kind of funny watching those hearings.
Yeah. Now, I really would love some other people from the grassroots to call in. So, I mean, I'm going to read the number again, and you know, definitely, this is why I'm doing the show, is for people to call in, and, you know, like Danny and, you know, Billy, you know, she's the grassroots as well, to talk about, you know, what they're thinking about now. So, I mean, the number is 718-305-7176. I'd consider doing this show for an hour. You know, the way this is looking now, it is not going to be any longer than an hour, because, you know, I don't get it. I really thought that people needed somewhere to, you know, to share their feelings and
well,
their thoughts
here, you know,
going on.
We could,
you know? So
we
I'm
could start.
I'm kind of disappointed.
We could start out the debate, so to speak, on what people out there are saying, because there's a lot of people who. I know are not going to vote for Romney, period. It's end of discussion. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes about it. I myself, and I know you are, and I know the writer of the blog that you read, was saying the same thing. We are anybody but Obama, and we don't want to see this country turn into a dictatorship, so we're going to vote for Romney. If it comes down to him, that's if.
Sure.
Because not only that, they're coming, if you paid attention to Americans Elect, they're
right.
coming out
no.
with a third candidate
right.
on
and
Monday
that's,
of
and
next
that's,
week.
Right, and you know that that's Obama, and that's, you know, that's a lot of the Democrats that
No,
pay
it's
for
not.
That.
No, it's not. It's a third. Mm. It's someone else. It's someone
no, it's,
completely
it's,
new.
Well, I don't know. I saw something pretty recently that it was, but I may have to find that article for you.
Oh, okay.
That there's kind of evidence on that. Okay, so you weren't aware of that. That's okay. I'm not going to argue with you on that.
No.
Yeah, I saw it was in it was on Tea Party. It was in the Tea Party Tribune. So I'll find that for you for sure. That's what they're thinking. And maybe it's not proven. I don't know exactly, but they usually have pretty good information on that site. So I definitely recommend
well,
people go to TeaPartyTribune.com. It's a great magazine.
What I am thinking is, and this is just based on other people's input about Americans Elect, is that I know it's a very liberal site. I myself did go there, and I answered some of the questions in their preliminary whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And it was interesting, but at the time, I supported Herman Cain.
Right.
And
had a candidate.
That's when they first came out with this idea even. Is to get someone that the majority of people, Americans, really want. And they were using their answers to go by what people voted for in the past. And what people voted for, like, you know, like they had even that Jackson Lee from Texas as one of the possibilities for president. And it turned out that the majority of people were looking for an independent from that day. I'm talking about just that day when I looked.
Right.
I looked at the majorities of what were being sought. And people, Joe Lieberman from Cincinnati or Connecticut, was
Connecticut.
The one
Correct.
Who was, he, well, he's an independent now. But he was the one that was, like, the most popular because he had the social conservatism, but he's got a little bit more liberal policy, like even, like, gun rights, I think, is a little bit more liberal and a little bit more the war thing, the Israel thing was the big thing, was
mm-hmm.
the big turner for it. He's Jewish. So I don't know who they're going to show on Monday, but I've been told that Monday's the tell-all day when we'll find out who Americans Elect. But anyway, we do have another caller at 765. And I'm going to bring them right on. I'm going to go hot mic with them. So,
all right. this is going to be cool.
Hi, who's that? 765. Hello?
This is Becca. Who's calling?
This is Emily.
Hey, Emily. Oh. Thank you so much for calling in. How are you doing tonight?
Okay.
You're doing okay? Just talk a little bit, if you can, about, I don't know, you can talk about what I said in the blog or just kind of how you've been doing this week. It's been a little bit more in the week, I guess, now because it was last Tuesday, but go ahead.
I don't know. I really don't know what to talk about.
No, about Rick leaving the race or kind of what you're doing. You said that in the chat that you're going to be voting for Rick in Indiana.
Okay.
So, yeah, and you're, go ahead, actually, go ahead, talk.
I've talked to a lot of people here. Sorry, my daughter's decided to wake up and start screaming.
No,
talked to a
fine.
Lot of people here in Indiana that say they're still going to vote for Rick. They're leaving their signs up and they're supporting him through the primary. So that is something that's positive.
Yes, that is positive. I think so. Sure. And it's hard right now for everybody. That's actually a word I probably repeated like 4 or 5 times on the last week of Rick's show, in the last part of the show. And I know it's still hard for a lot of people. But I felt that a lot of people are kind of not listening to other people. They're not listening to the other people who are their friends that they've been working with for months and months in the grassroots. And it makes me sad. I want people to be able to hear different opinions. And I think that Rick Santorum actually kind of spoke quite a lot about that on the campaign trail, where he talked about people being able to come out in the public square and be able to have different opinions and express them. And I think it's a shame that people would not kind of continue that now that he has suspended his campaign. And, not sit around and accuse others of being some sort of traitor, where they just happen to have a different opinion, and we all are going to want to go forward. And no matter what you decide to do in November, to go forward even beyond that and make sure that we do get a conservative president. So I just try to want to counsel people to have a longer view of what's happening, because what I try to say, Emily, is that the Tea Party only started 3 years ago. This isn't something where you, of course, we had some successes in 2010, great successes, but to be able to provide the kind of leadership that we want that's conservative in the House and the Senate and the White House, it's going to, we definitely need more people. And that's going to include not just evangelicals, not just other Christians, but Tea Party. And so I think that's an important thing that can be taken from what's going on at the time, but continuing to go on.
Yeah.
It's hope. I find a lot of hope in it, that we just have to reach more people. And I think we will.
I think a lot of people have been reached. I was part of the Indianapolis Tea Party from, like, the very beginning. And
oh, good. Okay.
They were saying on the news there were maybe 1,000 people at the first rally, and there's a head counter there. And he told my father, he said there were a good 5,000 people here.
Wow.
So the press really underreports it. So.
Oh, yeah.
But here in Indiana, I think they've reached a lot of people.
Good.
Well, I wanted to add a little something, Becca, about what we talked about earlier with Americans Elect. I was just checking it out and everything, and right now their declared nominee is actually Buddy Romer.
Hmm.
That's who they're declaring their nominee to be.
Ah, okay.
And Buddy Romer, honestly, he's pretty conservative. So
I don't know.
He'll be nominated if we end up at a convention, but if Romney takes the delegates, he won't be nominated.
Oh, yeah. I understand. Shannon. So what else is Emily? I mean, I love what you did in this campaign. You're not the only one, of course. You were part of a team, right?
yeah,
in Indiana.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple, to talk a little bit about what you all did as far as, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, like a whole long thing or anything, but just,
yeah.
I mean,
what was
the effort about? Yeah, what was that? Just give people a little bit of an idea, just generally, of how it was to get the signatures there in Indiana, and just, you know, some of the, you know, just a little bit of the struggles of that. But, you know, it was good. You know, of course, there was a great result for that he was able to get on the ballot.
Yeah. Well, I tried to call it a night in Iowa. I was up until, like, 2 o'clock in the morning watching the results come in and everything. And then that night I was online trying to find out where I could volunteer. And I'd been with him, you know, since before everything, since the summer. And then I started, finally got a hold of somebody, and we started taking ballots and everything, ballot signatures. And then I ended up down in southern Indiana trying to help them reach their quota down there, because they, you know, gone way over in northern Indiana what they needed, so.
Gotcha. People are trying to ask me stuff on Facebook. It's like, I'm on the radio. It's like you're doing like live TV or something. It's like, hello. Somebody's calling you on the phone. Like, I don't usually have that happen. And what's funny is they're asking me for the link to this show to listen to it, but they called it the Warrior Show. I think that's what they're talking about. This is not called the Warrior Show, but, you know, close. Very, very close. So, you know, Santor and Soldiers of Patriotism. And it's going to be the last one called that. Just so people know, about warriors. Okay, no, I have no idea what these people are talking about. But, there's a contest. And if you go in, let me look at the Facebook real quick and see which specific group it is. It's in a fairly new group for RIC supporters. We have a contest to name our new show. I think of it as a new show because it's going to have a new name. But I believe it's called National Grassroots for Conservative Candidates. Let me see it real quick. National Grassroots to Elect a Conservative Congress. So if you go to that, if you go to that group, and I'm going to go ahead and put the link in the chat. And there's just if you don't have to find the post, I guess. It would have been from day before yesterday. Then you just get in the contest, and it's through Friday. And then if you win, we pick your name as the name of our new show, Michael B. and my new show, then you'll be our special guest on Sunday, and get to, you know, kind of co-host and you know, talk about pretty much what you, well, within reason, talk about whatever you want to talk about. So I encourage people to get involved with that, and it's midnight Central Time on Friday is the deadline for the contest. So, you know, jump in that, sure. And then hopefully you get your show picked. Show name picked. So I'll put that on real quick. So I know some people are in that, but it's fairly new. I think it was a Tuesday or Wednesday of last week that it was started, and just really exploded. And it was great that Pam Dale was the one that she came on our show. Actually, no, it was last. It had to have been Sunday, because I think it was Friday or Saturday, something like that. She started, and then it had like 500 people at that time. Now there are about 572 people just in a few different days. And, yeah, the person who's asking me did actually mean this show. That's too funny. So definitely get hooked up with people that are really trying to move forward. That's what my message is today. So a Facebook group like that, or the National Grassroots for RIC Santorum, that's another great group. Moving forward. Also, RIC Santorum, the Conservative Message Lives, is another fairly new group started by Christopher Biagi Sr. So I recommend that one too. But yeah, a lot of great groups. Of course, I like Prayer Warriors for RIC Santorum. One of my favorites. But what groups do you, are those some of the ones that you're in, Emily? I know you were in at least one or two of those.
I'm in those, and you know, I have too many groups to pare them down. I have a lot of state groups too.
Right, so. And I started to do that. I think on Wednesday, it just ends up being too much. Where you keep getting these messages, all the, you know, you get the little things popping up trying to tell you that somebody said something. It's like, okay, that doesn't, you know, really relate to me. I'm not at all in that state, and that, you know, that contest is over. So. So, you know, yeah, I've been doing that too. The other thing I want to point out to people, you know, I really would love people to call in. I'm going to mention, I'm ad nauseum because the show really is for you all to call in. Again, the number is 718-305-7176. And I definitely do welcome your call to talk about what you want to talk about. And do you have anything else, Emily, or you want to, do you just listen to the show, or are you going to listen? I don't know how you were participating.
I don't know. I know there's been some problems between different factions or whatever, but I think we all agree, you know, that we want Obama out, and I just hope people will, you know, kind of fixate on that, I guess, because, you know, I gave the made the point to somebody today. I said, Obama wants us to stay home in November. Do you really want to do what Obama wants us to do? And, you know, I didn't get a response to that, so I'm hoping that...
Yeah,
I don't want to do what Obama wants me to do.
No, none of us want to do what Obama, whatever he might want us. Right. I think that I don't know why that is. I don't know why people say things like that. I just would like to pray for those people and hope that he works on their hearts and remembers that we're a very strong team, and Rick couldn't have got where he was without us. He knows it. I mean, he's definitely thanked us a million times, and so I think it's important that we try to, you know, honor what happened in the campaign and take it too. This is a different kind of a different mode for us, a different step, and we all just have to wait. You know, we have to be patient and see what Rick is going to do. And if he, I heard, you know, we all heard on that call, it's going to be in the next few weeks that I guess there's some sort of, you know, something that he's going to be announcing, or someone will be announcing in his behalf of what they think is going to happen, or what they would like us. As far as our kinds of actions, and you know, of course, there's votes. I mean, we all could vote for Rick if we have primaries coming up, I don't want to characterize what Rick said at all, but I believe if someone is no longer a candidate, they're not someone that's able to say vote for me. You know what I mean? It's like, of course, I mean. That would be, maybe that was what some people were waiting to hear, for him to say, please go out, and kind of rallying us. But that's our job, you know.
Well,
and
I think
people are kind of picking that up. People are, but I think the reason may be just very simple. And the simple reason that he maybe didn't say directly that people should go out and vote for him is that he maybe can't. You know, that was something that came to me just yesterday, you know, that maybe for whatever reason, you know, you're no longer campaigning, quote unquote. We're in a mode where we're now maybe trying to create a coalition I'll mention this many, many times because I think it's true that we all need to become kind of one big group and be aware that's how we can really move really well forward. I said, the social, kind of more the social conservative side, and I know everybody has little bits of Reagan's three-legged stool. I mean, everyone has, you know, the fence, and everybody has some of the fiscal as well. But primarily,
this is the thing. This is the thing that kind of gets my blood boiling. Is there are so many who will not vote. They have not voted in many years.
Right,
they don't
right.
vote. They simply, I mean, we've got like our nation of all eligible voters. We hardly ever, I mean, they said that 2008 was the highest turnout ever, and that was what, 47,000 or 47% of registered voters.
Yeah, and what's the solution?
And
what
registered
do you think
voters
we need to do? what do we need to
well,
do?
Well, one of the things, this is the funny part. There's so many people out there, and I have asked many people, why don't you vote? The number one answer, they never want to be called for jury duty. I'm like, what?
Oh, my God.
That's still around, that whole philosophy that if you're a voter, you're going to be called for jury duty. I have never been called for jury duty, sorry, but I've been voting since the 90s. You know, it's like...
I was, right. No, yeah, no, I'm not going with there. I was called for jury duty earlier this year, and I didn't actually ever have to go. So I think that that's something that's a myth that, you know, you have to do this whole the dance where you're going to have to try to get out of it. There's so many... You all right? That you have to, you know, there's going to be some kind of hassle for you. But, well, there's two things that I can say about that. Number one, you're in a very large pool a lot of times. And I was. I saw how many people were in that pool, and I didn't get picked. And it's like at least here in Ohio, it's a two-week window. I wasn't picked any of those days at all. And number two, it's our duty as citizens to...
But, you know, the number two... Well, the number two reason I've heard is because they don't think that they feel insignificant. Their vote doesn't count because they think it's all rigged anyway.
Right. And I think there'll be a certain percentage of people that are that way, but I think that it'll change. The only way to solve that specific problem is to have higher quality candidates. And unfortunately, we've really allowed people that have no business being our leaders getting into office for many,
right.
many years. And I wouldn't say that's only a Democrat problem. For sure, there
no.
are some Republicans I would rather not have in office, and one of them is my congressman, John Boehner. That's probably a whole other show.
It is, because I don't see anything wrong with him.
well, I just don't see that he really has – He's the third person, the third most powerful person in this country, as far as our government, and he doesn't lead. I just don't see that he has.
Well,
been
the
able
thing
to
is, he's got
do
he's
that.
The third most powerful, and he's the third in line for the throne, so to speak, the proverbial throne. But at the same time, his hands are tied behind his back, and he's like underwater. Because he's got a Democratic Senate and he's got a president who will veto anything, the Senate isn't doing their job. Otherwise, Boehner's job would be looking so much better because he's getting a lot passed in the House. Like I said, I do watch a lot of C-SPAN.
Okay,
and believe
okay. Well,
me,
right. I understand on that. But I mean it basically the budget stuff. I mean, I understand passing the things and sending it to that horrible Harry Reid and that he doesn't, you know, they have no budget there.
Exactly.
I'm talking about the deals that he, you know, where he sat down with Obama and really just gave away the house. I mean,
well,
not,
no,
not
he didn't.
Like a punt.
That wasn't Boehner's doing. Boehner and Obama had a deal. But when Boehner went back, guess what? Obama changed the deal and said, no, we're doing it my way. Instead of the way they negotiated together to do it. And Boehner kept his, I think he maintained dignity by saying, hey, guess what? We're either doing this together or not at all.
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, in some ways he did, he okay, well, I guess in some ways he did. I don't ever get to talk about him, so that was, you know, so I was kind of like, oh, I think I'll talk about him now. And so, you know, because we usually have a
right.
guest, and, you know, so things
I
are
understand.
a little bit more chilled out today, a little bit more loose, and it's nice. This is kind of a cool, I don't have to, did not that I didn't prepare for the show, you saw that I did, I made my commentary, and I
right.
knew what the show was going to be about, but this is, it's fun, it's kind of fun, us ladies, and, well, Danny, he's here too, so, you know, my point is, at, you know, there's definitely a higher quality moral code, I guess, that we can kind of look for our future candidates, and we just have kind of let that slide a little bit. So, you know, that's what I was trying to. That was my point.
Yeah.
And
I just, go ahead.
Well, go ahead, Danny.
One thing people can do is help support Josh Mandel in Ohio for Senate to get rid of Sherrod Brown.
Definitely.
And
we don't want Sherrod Brown anymore.
Right.
I don't get the guy. Not only because he's got such a raspy voice and he sounds kind of like, I don't know. But anyway, he's so controversial. He sounds insane. I don't know.
He may be.
Anyway.
He may be.
Yes, but psychologists today are trying to say that pedophiles are insane and not criminals. So
yeah.
Who do we trust with anything if we can't even trust our psychologists to diagnose the right illness on our insane people?
But I have a cure for pedophiles.
So do I.
Okay.
9mm. No, just kidding.
Oh,
but
well,
anyway.
44 Magnum.
Too good.
That's why we respect the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
That's probably
that's
why
what they're after, too,
really,
you know. I don't know if anybody overlooked this, but, you know, yesterday when GSA was all being up in the big, you know, Capitol Hill hearings, there was another hearing that people need to pay attention to, which was about racial profiling. It was basically to knock on that Trayvon Martin case, talking about racial profiling and wanting stricter gun rights. Because every of 49 or 50 states, 49 of the 50 states have some sort of either open carry or conceal and carry law. Illinois is the only one who doesn't, right? Illinois happens to have the second gun crime capital of the United States in it, which is Chicago. So I'm saying the first to New York. Now, New York, I don't know how, when you can't even carry a gun in New York anywhere. But Chicago, being second highest in gun crimes, happens to be a good example of why gun restrictions and gun regulations are a bad thing and why we Americans need to have our right to protect ourselves, because you know what the gun does? It actually demands respect. It makes that muscle, that bicep we have, a little bit bigger. It makes people look at us with a little bit of a cockeyed look, saying, hey, they could have a gun with them, so I'm not going to mess with them. So that's why the crime goes down in those states that have the conceal and carry or the open carry laws.
Like at a old saying that God created man and Sam Colt created made him equal.
Sam Colt did it, huh?
Yeah.
He was, yeah. I guess the Colt, what was it? The Colt, what? 45?
45.
Yeah. The weapon of the Western choice, or the Cowboys' weapon of choice.
And it, well, like AARP is against gun rights, but
yeah.
How is an older person supposed to defend themselves against a younger
assailant
that's trying to overpower them or break in or something?
Oh, yeah. Or it's like the Black Panthers are blocking the door at the voting booth. You just pull out yours and say, you shoot me, I shoot you, we both go down.
There's a reason they don't do that in Port Royal, Kentucky.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, goodness, guys. I just don't. I don't get this. I mean, and not to sound so discouraged, but I thought people would call in.
Well, we got discussion going. And, well, this is more an Obama-dation type talk, because that's the
for
kind
sure.
of stuff I talk about is, you know, the stuff
yeah.
that is going on in the world today that people are overlooking or not being shown because they see GSA thrown in their face all over the place, or they only see part of it, and I can elaborate by watching C-SPAN on more that was involved. Because they only show clips on the news. They only show clips on the you know, YouTube even. If you watch the whole hearing, you get a lot more. But
get the interaction and all that. But
I think another thing we could talk about is, since you and I are both women, Danny, you know, and Emily's on the line too, so we could talk about this whole stay-at-home mom issue. Plus, we've got another caller.
Yay.
I'm married to a stay-at-home mom.
I'm a stay-at-home mom.
He married a stay-at-home mom.
There you go. And you know what? I'll tell you, when I first got married to my husband, one of the first things he said is, if you want to, I'm not going to stop you, but I would like you to stay at home. And he'd do anything to help me stay at home.
Oh, I don't think the
But who do we have at 531?
Yeah.
Hi.
Or 631, actually. This is Deborah.
Or 631, I'm sorry.
This is Deborah Sewell.
Hi, Deborah.
Okay. Hey, Deborah. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Well, we're doing pretty good. We're better now that you called. Do you have some thoughts about what happened this last week or week and a half? And whatever you want to talk about. But that's pretty much why I hosted the show, was to give people a chance to kind of speak to what happened and how they're doing and how they think they're going.
I was devastated, of course, when Rick first made that announcement. Never expected that to happen, but totally understood why he did what he did, and really felt that we had let him down. The nation had let him down, and the nation had really shown where it was at.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't the nation so much as I think it was just the Republican Party itself.
Well, they haven't. Yes, I agree. That has been a big problem. But
everyone was behind Romney, and they kept coming out with new endorsements and trying to make him look better. And still to this day, Romney has 2/3 of the country against him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's ridiculous.
No, the voice of the people is not getting out. The true reflection of how we feel is not in the media. We know the media is not truthful, and
they mock us in the media.
What's that?
Oh, we have another caller too.
Oh, good.
Who do we have at 262?
Yeah.
Pardon? Oh,
who's
this is Mary from Wisconsin.
Hey, Mary. I'm from
Hi.
Wisconsin.
I was trying to find the number. I got it from you earlier today, and I couldn't find it, so I apologize for being late.
Oh, no problem. There's no RSVP or anything that's required. So,
okay.
So go ahead and just kind of share with us, you know, your thoughts and feelings and kind of how you think things are going in the grassroots and really how we can move forward.
Are you talking to me, Mary from Wisconsin?
Mary from Wisconsin, yes.
Okay.
This is your this is part of your show, too, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you, and it's nice to meet all of you. Like many of you, I'm struggling right now. I would say that's probably an accurate assessment of how many of us who were working at a grassroots level for Rick are feeling just kind of let down, not by him, but by the GOP establishment,
mm-hmm.
by other forces. And I'm just struggling I just want to tell you real quickly about what happened here in Wisconsin, just to add
Please.
Something a little different, because you might not be aware.
Okay.
But there was a huge grassroots effort here in Wisconsin. Two students I know were homeschooled in Illinois gave up their spring break to drive up and work for Rick. Hillsdale College sent up students. It was the most wonderful grassroots effort I've ever been involved in. I've had a lot of experience helping with campaigns, and this one was just
great.
Unbelievable. And Rick and Karen and Sarah came in, and they crisscrossed the state. We hosted events for them. I think Rick went to every bowling alley in the state of Wisconsin. We gave him two cheese heads, and it was all volunteer effort. It was all grassroots. There, you know, as you know, the money wasn't there for Rick like it was for Mitt Romney. Okay, so what happened is the GOP establishment caught on to the fact that Rick was going to win Wisconsin. This is my feeling.
Okay.
He was ahead by 3, 4, maybe 5%. So what they did was they approached Ron Johnson, Congressman Ron Johnson, and Senator, Congressman Paul Ryan and Senator
right.
Ron Johnson, two beloved
right.
national figures here in Wisconsin, and they pressured them to come out and endorse Mitt, who wasn't even here in the state.
Right.
And he did that, as you know, and actually two blocks from the Santorum campaign headquarters, Mitt and Paul Ryan stood and gave out free sub sandwiches to people.
Right. Yeah,
it was
definitely.
Like a bad Saturday Night Live skit.
I saw that. I do remember that. Mm-hmm.
Well, so this is what happened, and this is why he lost Wisconsin this last-minute weekend before. It was as though they nullified, canceled out everything that all of us had done. By they, I mean the GOP establishment.
Sure.
And I am still so angry. I'm angry at what they did to Rick. You know, this is just a microcosm of what this team has done to him throughout the United States or in the other primaries. And I'm trying not to be angry. I'm a person of deep faith like Rick Santorum is, but I am angry. And I would like to know how anybody who's on the line or you are handling these strong emotions, because as I said, we gave up weeks to help him win Wisconsin, which we knew was a turning point, and it was all canceled out by the GOP establishment. And right now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I will not be voting for Mitt Romney, no matter whether he's the nominee or not, because he, to me, is ran one of the most unprofessional, cruel, and underhanded primary campaigns in the history of
Becca,
the United
States. And, Becca, that's
what
I'm going to say.
So I'm done.
The integrity of the people is stronger on that side. I feel like a weakling, like a fool, if I vote for Obama or for Romney.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of people, and I will be that fool, I guess, because I say I'm anybody but Obama. But at the same time, I can understand them not wanting to be the fool. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And Romney has been so dirty and so scumbaggish during this campaign. I don't want to vote for him in November.
I really kind of didn't want to go there on this stuff, but okay. I was going to kind of talk about how
I was really just trying to talk about what happened here in Wisconsin and how to deal with sadness and anger.
I'm trying to turn a heel. Some problems that are going on no offense, but in Ohio, we had a real similar thing, Mary. I'm in Ohio, and really we worked so very hard. We had a great team here in Butler County with, just fairly small group, tell you the truth, but, strong. And, everybody all together in Ohio really helped us. People like our AG, Mike DeWine, who was a supporter of Mitt Romney and came over to Rick.
Right.
I think that was an amazing, amazing thing that he did to kind of buck the system. And it is a system here in Ohio that his cousin, Kevin DeWine, just was pretty much forced out by Kasich as the head of our GOP here. Just very recently. So there are things changing.
Here in Iowa. It started here in Iowa.
Billy,
it's happened in every state.
I apologize, but can I finish my thought? And really what happened here in Ohio was that Mitt Romney went across the state twisting arms and surrogates twisting arms of Republicans, and it didn't matter what position they were in, whether it was the dog catcher to the, whoever, And I guess maybe that's the way that the establishment works. That's the way that they believe that an election has to be won is that they, like you see in some of the other states, like South Carolina, where you know, the, someone's candidacy, you know, someone is running for governor and they pay money into that person to help them win and that type of thing. I don't know personally about anything like that in Ohio, but there definitely were a lot of things, and just very similar to what you had in Wisconsin with Paul Ryan, Mary, with those sub sandwiches here in Ohio. Nate decided he was going to go to a place called Montgomery Inn, which is a very well-known regional place that has ribs, and they have, well, primarily ribs is their big thing, but they have steaks and that too. And he put on what was called Ribs with Mitt. And what that was, absolutely, it was not a, this was not a fundraiser. I actually called back. It was on an one of those robocalls. And I called back the number, and pretending like I was a Mitt Romney supporter, just for fun. And basically, I left a voice message, and they called me back, and they said, oh, yeah, he's going to be there, and yeah, there might be a rope line and all of this, and it was not a fundraiser. Mm. This was Mitt Romney's campaign buying ribs for the people of Ohio the day before the election, or on a Saturday, the day before, you know, the weekend before the election. So this is the type of this is the type of a bribery, essentially, that was going on. And, you know, I was very hurt. I felt like I let down, I let down the campaign in some way. But I think a little bit of time, I know you all just, it seems like you probably just, to you, probably feels like it just happened. We had your contest. But after a little bit, you maybe hopefully be able to get some perspective and see that how very hard you worked, it was worth it, because what we're going to do, and then a lot of people, myself, Alice Linehan, Lisa Gross, Shelley, just a lot of different people are working and on trying to bring together everybody and not have everybody kind of at each other's throats. And I know I've heard some people respond back to me with that, what do you mean? I don't know. I and a couple other people are really seeing some problems with, you know, the way some people are treating each other right now in the grassroots. And it was my hope with this show, hopefully, that people will call in like yourself and Deborah and Emily and hopefully try to find a solution, at least a small step in that direction, because we need to stay together, because we have House and Senate seats that are up this year. We've got even if you know, for whatever reason, you know, that Romney is elected, you know, becomes the nominee, is elected, we need to get a conservative in that seat. So how we're going to do that, you know, a lot of people stayed together. I don't know if you do know that, but a lot of the people that supported Mike Huckabee came and helped Rick Santorum in this campaign. And I didn't know very much about that at all until fairly recently, and it really inspired me that people would stay together, you know, for that period of time. And if they did it for 4 years, goodness, you know, with all the excitement and all the great things that Rick brought as far as ideas to this campaign, I think that we could do it at least another 4 years to work again to bring some more conservatives. We didn't just have one conservative in this race. You know, there were others, people like Herman Cain and Michelle Bachmann.
Becca, Mitt Romney's not one of them.
I know. I understand that. I said this is a longer view of what
right.
we need to do. And we also, I would never tell someone who they should vote for, and I would never ask someone to tell me who they're going to vote for, unless, you know, it were imperative that I know that.
In the grassroots, we kind of coalesce around conservatism at least.
Absolutely.
And the one thing we do is we recognize very easily what isn't conservative, what isn't conservatism. And that's where I hear and I feel what Mary's saying, because even here in Iowa, still to this day, and we were the first election. We were the first one.
You were heroes.
I'm on the Central Committee, and I'm a delegate here for Rick Santorum, by the way. And I, myself, at our last meeting on April 3rd, we polled all of our Rick Santorum delegates out of the 20 that we had there, 16 will not, absolutely will not vote for Mitt Romney. And 16 absolutely would not vote for Newt Gingrich. And 19 absolutely would not vote Ron Paul. You want to know who the only one was that would? Me. Mm-hmm. I was the only one who was anybody but Obama. Mm-hmm. All the others had principles and these values that they were putting behind why not to vote for Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich. Or,
right.
And my whole philosophy going in and even nominating, being nominated,
right,
was because I want Obama out. That's my
absolutely
only thing. So I'm basically voting against something where these people are saying we want to vote for something.
Sure, sure. And it's just that, and that's personal. I mean, that's definitely a personal choice. And all that I'm asking, Dilly and Mary and everybody, is that people be a little bit understanding that we all were very much affected by Rick, you know, doing what he did last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever people want to call it, if they don't want to say the campaign is over, that's fine. I'm not going to criticize that. But for people to call people traitors and to say that someone is now a supporter of Mitt Romney because they may not use the proper wording or may not speak in the proper way that someone else might like, I don't believe shows respect for that other person or for
the type of work
they did for okay. Well, but that's happening. That's happening today. It probably is happening at this hour. And it makes me a little bit angry and sad.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say something else? This is Mary again.
Go ahead, Mary.
Okay. I just want to say about this topic, which is obviously a very sensitive topic to approach with anybody, and I've come up with an answer for myself as far as my intentions. First of all, I don't know what I'll do in November. I told you what I feel right now. But I have found with my Republican ladies that I'm going to be seeing tomorrow and that type of thing, that for me to say what I'm planning to do or not do, who I'm voting for or not voting for, has caused a firestorm with especially some of these GOP establishment ladies that I know. And when I vote, I stand before God, my country, and my family. And I consider it a precious, precious, we all do, you know, right. And I now realize that it can also be private and that I do not have to, that if I'm making a stand and saying, let's just say I say I will not vote for Mitt Romney, it's very, very controversial and it causes conflicts that I don't need in my life right now because I've got enough inner conflicts going on about this whole thing. And so for me personally, I've decided that if anybody asks me if I'm voting for Mitt Romney or not voting for Mitt Romney, I just say that's a private decision. And it's helping me a lot, and it's helping with some of my friendships. So.
I think that's smart. Go ahead, Danny.
I've seen an article today where Mitt Romney may not be eligible because of a felony over buying the sandwiches in Wisconsin.
Is that an update on the original? Do you know when that came out? Because I saw one right after it happened, and I didn't know if anybody had really, you know. I think it's horrible, you know, to if something was a broken law.
Well, the
really
Democrats are challenging this sandwich selling. I know that,
update?
But I didn't know what happened.
Was there an update on it?
I didn't hear the update that just came up.
Let me is that an update, Danny?
Yeah, I've seen an article today about it.
Okay, good. Can you
think
share
it
in the
on
chat?
Twitter.
Okay, can you share that in the chat room? Can you put the link?
Let me see if I can find it.
If you can. Yeah, I hadn't seen that, so I appreciate that we can all kind of see it.
Did you guys see the video of what he did in Florida?
No, tell us.
There were two guys that were standing on a street corner. They were holding Romney signs and everything, and this interviewer walked up to them and said, hey, so you're voting for Romney? And they said, no, we already voted for Newt. And they said, well, why are you wearing Romney signs? Oh, some Romney guys came up to us and gave us money to do it. And they were just standing on a corner holding Romney signs and wearing Romney T-shirts and hats and stuff. And they were challenging his delegates over that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were paying people to hold signs?
But the thing is, the RNC and the GOP, they are absolutely covering that kind of stuff up. It was just a YouTube video I watched, and they were showing it.
That's wild. No, I hadn't seen that.
I'll have to post it, like, on Patriot Soldiers or something, but I can't really look it up right now, otherwise it'll, like, interfere with the noise and stuff.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
Well, I hope somebody can post about this sandwich thing, because my heart is beating really fast right now with excitement.
Yeah, he's looking on Twitter. He's getting on Twitter. We'll have that on before the end of the show. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Thank you.
He'll get it. But thank you. I mean, do you have any other thoughts, or do you want to just listen to the show? Or everybody's got a hot mic pretty much. I mean, Emily, I'll put Emily back on. I don't know if she had more to say. There, Emily, I didn't know if you had more to say. I kind of
think Deborah didn't get much to say either.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, Deborah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
A lot more I'd like to say, actually.
Well, good.
Please,
Deborah.
I am part of the Rick Santorum Prayer Warriors.
Yay.
And yes, and we pray daily. We prayed daily for Rick, and we still do, for his family, for everyone that's part of Grassroots. I am so proud to be part of this group. I am so proud of everything I have seen everyone do. I am so happy with the video that was made today. We are significant. But the basis is the prayer. The basis is the foundation of faith that Rick is a part of and we joined in. I mean, this is part of who I've been for over 40 years. But that foundation of faith, of gaining back our freedoms that we just let slip by because we did not stand up, we need to stand up now. We need to pray daily. We need to honor the Lord. And this is bigger than any of us. It's bigger than the Republican Party. It's bigger than anything. It's repenting. It is laying down the things that are not right in our lives and really crying out to God to heal our land. Our land needs to be healed. The abortions need to be that the laws need to be getting rid of. We need to stand for truth. We need to stand for righteousness. We need to go back to the rules of our founding fathers. And we can't do that on our own, and we will not do that any other way but by prayer and fasting and standing on the Word of God.
Yeah, that group, I have to agree with you, Deborah, has been a real blessing in my own life. I just happened to run across it when I was doing the call from home, being a part of that program, and just of what you all did for us by praying for us daily, and then you all, someone recommended that we provide the names, of some of the voters that we spoke with, and I know that was a real blessing too, to be able to speak to the voters and let them know that we would bring their concerns before the Lord, and you did, and
we did.
You did, and it, what you all have done in that group, and I'm glad to be a member of it too. So I don't
can
you
tell me
you,
the name of the group that you're referencing?
It's Prayer Warriors for Rick Santorum. I'm sorry, I didn't want to cut into Deborah, but I'll go ahead and type it. Go ahead if you want to talk some more about it, Deborah. I love that group too.
Oh, it's a great group. We are serious and focused and praying and fasting daily. And we know that is the answer. The Lord is the answer. If He is for us, who can be against us? And it's what is His will is for this country. And whether He will grant us the mercy that we need to go forward and have the changes made in this country and take that ground back. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're believing. We believe he did raise up Rick for that purpose. And if he allows a miracle to happen and Rick is allowed to come back or somehow through the convention, or like you're saying now, maybe Mitt isn't even able to run. If that were the case, what would happen to Rick? You know, the people then that are on that fence or that are afraid, they're afraid right now. And they're so afraid that Obama might get in that they're grasping at straws.
Mm-hmm.
And if Mitt cannot run, wouldn't they then say, okay, now we understand? And that's what we're praying for. We're praying for however the Lord wants to do it. We don't always know how he's going to do it, but we do trust that he's hearing us and he's answering. He is more than able to do anything. So.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
So don't be discouraged. Was ever getting discouraged. Do not be discouraged. We need to fix our eyes on the Lord and just pull up our bootstraps and put our armor on and get to work.
This is Mary again. I just want to thank you. And also I do want to say that I've worked on a lot of campaigns since 2000, the Bush campaigns, McCain. And this year, having chosen Rick Santorum, and even though he didn't, you know, end up being our nominee or hasn't yet, I have felt surrounded by grace. I'm a Catholic, but I've never felt this grace in my campaigning before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost as though I received this gift, and no matter how vitriolic things got or how angry people got or how angry I got, I still felt this grace surrounding me the whole time. And I feel it now talking to all of you. And so I just want to thank you for reminding me that this is about, this is so much bigger than what we're doing here, and that it is about God's grace. And I just need to keep remembering that it's God's will and not mine. That's where I get. That's where I get into trouble.
And we got another caller too. We'll go ahead and bring on. I love having roundtable. This is so. It's kind of fun to be able to do. And it's Brittany. And you all probably know Brittany if you listen to the We Pick Rick show. She is the call screener a lot of times. Jen, I know, is call screener too. But Brittany, our wonderful Brittany from Georgia, is on here. So how you doing tonight, Brittany?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Good. So I was asking everybody. I'd read that blog that I wrote, or at least a part of the blog that I wrote, and just was getting everybody's kind of thoughts and feelings about what's going on in the grassroots, and kind of hopefully a positive way for us to move forward. So your thoughts, on that, and how you're feeling about. Primaries and everything going forward.
I definitely think that as far as within the grassroots, that people need to pull together. Whatever their opinions are on going forward or how they interpret what Rick says, because I know, and you had said it before, we all will listen to Say the Call the other night, and people hear it in three different ways. But we definitely, there's been a lot of bickering and different things, and I think we all need to just stop and think and realize that God's in control of this, and he's got a really good plan for Rick. It may not be the plan that someone else has for him, but God definitely does, and he's in control, and he knows what's going on and where we need Rick. And I'm excited about whatever this is that Rick's got in the works and all. I'm excited to hear what he plans, because I know he said he's still going to be fighting, and that'll be an interesting thing to be a part of, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And I love that. I love your positivity. Anytime that I've called into the old We Pick Rick show, luckily, Dan and Dave have their new show, Mentionable. That's going to be on tomorrow night. And you all can listen at 9 Central. just put mentionable. Or do you know how to go? I think it's just mentionable.com. You know the
I think
anything
so.
Brittany? Yeah, but, or it's on here on Blog Talk Radio. You can just search mentionable, and it'll come up. But I do know that's when it is at 9 Central on Thursdays, and it's a 1-hour show, and just very topical. And they just want to talk about things that are mentionable. I think that's the way to put it. Yeah, but yeah, definitely. I like what you said that we have to be sure to. I was talking earlier about we just to be respectful of each other and
definitely
right, and to be able to try to build a group that includes so many different types of people. And it's hard for everyone to agree on everything all the time. But we do have a long-term goal of having a conservative, having people that are moral, and having people that are going to defend our nation, where we definitely don't have someone like that in the White House right now. And in the future, we're hoping to get a conservative as a president. And God's will is the important thing, as a lot of you have talked about. We don't know what he has planned for our nation. And we just have to pray a lot more and really and try to seek what would want for us. And we don't know that, and we don't know what timetable he's on. So, you know, definitely November is when the election is, but, you know, our conservative president, the plan could be a much, much further distance, and we have to be prepared for that. That's all that I'm asking for. I'm not asking anyone to not vote the way that they choose to, not vote according to their morals or to their religious beliefs or to their, you know, because it, you know, you, Rick, did really talk a lot in this in the election about how people need to be able to live in the way that they choose to live, and that includes our religious our freedoms. And so, of course, I wouldn't want to go against that. But I think that the timetable is such that if people forget, and I know I mentioned this earlier, but it bears repeating that the Tea Party only started 3 years ago, and a lot of the mobilization beyond people that are in, you know, usually would support a movement candidate do come from the Tea Party, and I'm one of those people, and some of the other people on this call are as well. And what I say is that this is a really big task that we have in front of us. And let's not lose hope and not lose heart that something isn't this quick. You know, there's, you know, many, many years that could pass before we really get a majority in both houses the way that we would like to be able to work with someone that's a conservative also, too, in the White House. So I see it as a hopeful thing. I see, you know, that we have to be able to work with each other. And so someone that's more a fiscal conservative like myself or, you know, some others can really respect what the important things are of a social conservative. And I've learned, I'm blessed that I've been able to be a part of this grassroots to get to know social conservatives, people like yourself, Brittany and Mary, and Deborah, and I thank you. I thank you for making that a possibility. As I was very ignorant about what you all, you know, what that meant to people, how very important and foundational it is to people. And so that's what I don't want to talk through this whole show, but I want to tell people how thankful I am. For their hard work too. I mean, goodness, you know, just the long hours and just, you know, that you just had to be rewarded by, I don't know, by just very small things in your life. The, you know, the friendships and, you know, just, you know, whatever you could, because you saw what it was. You saw that, you know, Rick was able to get as far as he did because of what we did. And so, you know, that's important. I think it's important for us to remember that even if a specific race didn't go the way we wanted, he really went much further than any of the pundits or possibly even the people in his campaign thought that he might because of prayer, first of all, and because of the work of many, many volunteers. So,
yeah,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think you hit something there, too, with the prayer as far as with everything with Rick, because I commented to my mama that I think he was one of the most prayed for presidential candidates in years. She said that the last one she could remember that even came close was Reagan. But just the amount of prayer, I mean, even at events, I had posted a picture of one of the ones he did here in Georgia, and they brought his family up on stage with him, and they said, we are going to lay hands on him, and we are going to pray for him and for this family. And I think that was definitely a huge part of how far he got and the blessings with the campaign. I really do.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
Good, good. And I love that photo. I think I made a graphic of that of his family. Was that from Georgia?
You did, Atlanta? Yeah.
Yeah, I loved that photo where they're up with the pastor. And just, you know, it just really touched me at that. And you all have seen all the photos of the different places everywhere from Tulsa to
yes.
just everywhere across this country where people were just right there. And he was just kind of in the heart of the photo and just them with their heads bowed and just asking God to help him and, you know, if it's his will, of course, but, you know, just to have that behind you, you can only imagine, you know, I try to think about it and just how, and you know, how they spoke about that on the call on Tuesday. And I remember Rick's quote, he said, we felt blessed along the way. And I thought that was a really nice way to put it, that they felt prayed for and that what we did in the prayer warriors or, you know, of course, a lot of other people did pray for them as well, that made a difference to them in such a grueling thing that Karen talked about. Sometimes they would maybe get just a handful of hours of sleep every night because they had another event in the morning and some of the evening events or the interviews or, you know, the things, other things would keep them up very late at night. So they were sustained by these prayers. And, and we need to continue those because, of course, you never know what may happen. You know, something may happen as far as Bella's health and thank goodness that she is, you know, as far as what they had said on the call, that she is, you know, back to how she, you know, what had been. And so we have to continue to pray for her. Pray for all of them to be strong, to have discernment in on their decisions right now, because there's a lot up in the air. If you can imagine for us, if you imagine for them, what other possible things might be going on that they're going to have to make a decision again. Like when they first came into the race, I'm sure they're going to make decisions on what we may do going forward too. So we can hopefully pray for them on that. What else you guys got?
Yeah, don't hesitate to list any specific requests. It's really great to pray specifically. So if there are any concerns, we are also starting a prayer and fasting chain. So we are going to be continually. There'll be hopefully three of us at a time that will be fasting and any time of the day.
You know, you talked about, this is Mary again, you talked about one of the blessings being the people that you met, that we met, and it reminded me of meeting the Duggar family. Do you all know who the Duggars are?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Jim and Michelle Duggar, and they have 19 children. And they were here in Wisconsin campaigning for Rick. They travel around in a city-wide bus that's the size of a city bus. That's how they travel. And they came up from Arkansas to campaign for Rick. And when I went to a fundraiser, this bus was sitting there, and it said Rick Santorum for president. So 2012, I thought it was Rick's bus. No, it was the Duggar bus. And when he was here, when Jim Bob was here with his kids, I said, how many of your children are here with you? He said, I don't know, 10, 11, maybe 12, I'm not sure. But I was blessed to meet maybe 8 of them, and they were some of the nicest young people I've ever met. Polite, well-dressed, people of deep faith. And I thought, oh my gosh, if Rick and Karen have people like this supporting them, they truly are blessed. And I was blessed to meet the Duggar family. And my daughter keeps saying, I don't believe you met the Duggars. She was mildly impressed that I met Rick Santorum, but hugely impressed that I met the Duggars. So I just wanted to offer that.
That's funny. But I was also thinking about, I don't know how many of you got a chance to hear the last We Pickford show, but I kind of wanted to get your take on Steve Dace calling in. Especially Billy, being from Iowa, what your impression of that was? If you, I don't know if you got a chance to hear that, but he called in. I guess he's a personal friend of Dave Davidson, and he called in and actually was fairly benign as far as his comments. He actually did say he did have some criticisms of Rick, and I think that they were true but fair, and. It was a huge surprise to me that someone of his, you know, that somewhat of his stature as a radio host would mm-hmm. call into the show. So maybe just your, you know, anybody's thoughts if you got a chance to hear.
I haven't listened to the show yet, Becca.
Okay.
But I was unable to attend that day. We had like a church picnic and stuff going on.
Okay.
And it was that day. What happened that day? There was a big tornado and storm and stuff.
Right.
That's what happened that day. And
we pray for you all on our show. But
yeah, I just left as many electronics off as possible that day. So I didn't even really go on the computer very often. I did a couple times, but I wanted to hear that show. I remember, but I was unable to, and I haven't gone through the archives yet.
Right. Did anybody else get a chance to see it? While y'all are talking, I'm going to see if I can find. I may have saved the link for that, and I'll post it because it's worth hearing. Definitely, everybody's impressions of the race and also of him, of Steve Dace calling in was I think it was very surprising to me.
I didn't get to hear it, but did.
You heard it. I'm the only one.
I don't know if anybody else did.
I heard part of it. I was call screening, and when you call screen, you only get to hear snippets in between phone calls, so I didn't hear the entire thing. What I did hear of it, though, I thought was really good. I thought it was great that he came on and talked and said what he did. You know, like Becca said, he had a few criticisms, but they weren't bad things, and he had a lot of good things to say too, which I think surprised a lot of people.
I think I'll have to get his number from you, Becca, so I can have him on my show.
Well, I don't have his personal number. No, he was not on my show. He was on the We Pick Rick show. So, I would love to have Steve Dace on my show. But, I don't have the ego to think that I have that type of pull. People, you know, let's be serious here. But anyway, I was very lucky to have Pastor Gordon on the show. But you know, that was actually Michael's doing. You may know that he is personal friends with his. So that's how that happened. But
I personally, that show I was on with you, and Pastor Gordon, the only thing he's a good guy. His religion is very, he's Pentecostal. So anyone who knows what Pentecostal, it was hard to have questions for him that related to my religion and everything. You know what I mean? Because he's like anti my religion in a different way.
Well, I mean, the show wasn't really about, it was somewhat about.
I know it was about Rick, but.
Right, it was more about Rick and just him endorsing, and his endorsement of him and maybe some political issues, some of the things that he brought up on the show.
Right, and I agree with him on those things.
Oh, yeah, and you asked some great questions, too. on that show. So, and I did find the link. So here's the actual, the final We Pick Rick. If anybody wants to listen to that, that's the link for the, that's the link to hear the archive of that. I went ahead and put that in the chat there. But what else y'all want to talk about? I mean, we've got another 30 minutes. I'd be glad to do the entire hour and a half, which I scheduled. I was getting a little discouraged earlier, so thank you all so much for...
Yeah, I'm glad, too. We actually lost the caller. Did you see that?
I did see that, and I wasn't able to pick it up, but we were all talking.
No, I picked it up, and I put him on hot mic, but I never got a chance to...
To introduce them. Oh, well,
yeah.
That's okay. Well, maybe they'll call back. We'll see. But I'm really glad that you all called in. I'm the one that was calling, you know, making the show to try to pick you all up, but I was getting discouraged.
Now you know how I feel.
Oh, really?
No, seriously,
well,
on my shows lately, I haven't been able to get the word out enough. I had my last show that I did have scheduled. It was the day after he announced, I put a show up. And if you look at the last archived one, it was like only a half hour long because I didn't get enough people listening. And I even put the link up on We Pick Rick and everywhere.
Right.
And I never.
Well, we were all depressed.
I kept saying, everybody call in. Call in and let's talk about it. I know we're all upset, but let's just get it off our chest. I guess waiting a week is better.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was really hard, even just on the last week of Rick's show. I think people were still very – of course, it was that day. So, you know, it was unfortunate that it wasn't another even 24 hours to give people some time for it to sink in. And just, you know, for me – I started a new job, and so I was a little bit away from the grassroots for actually about 5 days, 4 or 5 days, pretty much. And so I was able to kind of digest it a little bit better than other people. I hadn't been going nonstop like I kind of had been since a little bit before Iowa. Maybe not as emotional. It doesn't mean it didn't hurt. I honestly, about 2 or 3 days later, about 2 days, I guess, Shelly gave me a call. Shelly Allersmeyer, the National Grassroots Coordinator, and I did cry. But it was happy. You know, it was you know, very positive. Just thinking about this campaign, just what, like I said, what we accomplished, and just some of the moments where we thought that there wasn't really a lot of a chance on some of these things, and then to come in and win the 3 states like he did, and you know, at that point, and also to win Mississippi and Alabama when Newt was just, you know, barnstorming through those states, and just kind of, you know, he had this idea that he was going to make some kind of comeback at that point, and Rick really kind of showed that wasn't going to happen, and so what he did, I think, really was able to change the narrative of what people thought this race was going to be, that it was going to be kind of a three and out, to use a sports analogy, in this campaign. And that, you know that didn't happen in South Carolina. They said this is where the trail ends. And Rick said, no, it doesn't end here. And we all did too. We put our heads down and we moved forward, and we got through Florida, which was very hard. You know, I know the people in Florida worked very, very hard. But that money is a hard thing to overcome. It's something where you have many. There were like they estimate they're between six major markets, something like that in Florida, and that takes a lot of money to be able to reach people. And I love what Rick does. You know, I love that he goes into a room and he wants to shake every person's hand and, you know, wants to greet everyone. And maybe with the internet, maybe with the new media, there's going to be more opportunities for him to do that type of thing. Having it online, you know, and C-SPAN's really good, you know, that C-SPAN.org, you can watch a lot of the town halls that he's done all over the country. And
just type in Rick Santorum, you'll get the whole archive.
Yeah, get a whole bunch of them. And so my thinking is, of course, it was really important. The money was important. But to me, what was important, what happened in this campaign, and I'd love to get your takes on this, is that what Rick did was he spoke to not just social conservatives, which kind of Huckabee maybe did in the last, 4 years ago, but he also was able to bring out Made in America. And what that, to me, did was it spoke to people like me who, where I live is very, there's not a lot of very positive things going on here as far as the economy, as far as any chance of job where I am. And
yeah, see, that's where my show comes in.
Right, exactly. This is Billy Cotter in Nobomination territory. So for me, it was a very hopeful message, even though it starts with, talking about some hard truths, which is that our leaders have not really thought about very much what they're overspending, what they're this massive debt is doing to us as a nation, and what Rick is able to do is to say, no, we're not going to continue to do this automatic having the government be able to spend more money every single time they get a budget, the baseline budget. No, we're not going to wait 10 years, Paul Ryan. We're going to have a balanced budget in the next 5 years. No, we're not going
right.
to cut we're not going to cut $5 trillion in 10 years, Paul Ryan. We're going to cut it in 5 years. And also the thing I think was the thing about manufacturing, where you were going to have the base, that manufacturing base, come back to rural areas, to smaller communities, and to have someone come and speak like that to everybody, to many types of many groups of people, is to me just very, very compelling, because that he has to know that not everyone has been on the same page like that. And that he reaches out to fiscal conservatives. He reaches, in a way that I haven't seen anyone do. And
right.
Me, I think it's a very hopeful thing, because it says to me, to social conservatives, this is your plan. This is how we can get a conservative president, and this is how we can get many, many conservatives in power. And that is to talk like this. And I'm not saying don't talk about social issues. Of course, you've got to talk about what you believe in, and you've got to talk about what is important in your life. And Rick did that, and he found a way to bring that to me, and bring that to people that are not day in and day out, don't always share the same views. And
see, Becca,
it's amazing.
That's one thing that a lot of people don't see in Romney, because he can say he's pro-life today, but tomorrow people are afraid he'll change his mind. And there are many people out there, including my husband. My husband he's still on the fence on whether he's even going to vote. And I'm trying to encourage him, like me, to say we got to get Obama out of there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's the only way. And he is just like, yes, but you know what? My president has to speak for the unborn.
I understand.
And he is very much pro-life in that aspect. And he says, I don't believe he changed his mind. I believe he says he changed his mind for the popularity of saying so. But I don't believe he really changed his mind. He doesn't show it. Especially even when his wife comes out and her only argument for saying, when she's being confronted with, you stayed at home and never got out of the house to, work outside the home, is, I made a choice. And the way she said it sounded exactly like a pro-choice argument.
I understand.
Not
and,
a
and,
pro-life
and I,
argument.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. I don't agree that is the way that we would want. I'm not disagreeing with you on that at all.
Right.
So I was just trying to.
But that's
talk
where
about
a lot of these people,
right.
The ones I mentioned that say I'm not voting at all if Romney's the nominee, when they say that And I don't want it to be that way. I seriously don't. I want everyone to coalesce around a candidate, but I also understand is all I'm saying. I understand those people who say, I'm not voting for Romney with all their heart because their heart sees that his heart doesn't match.
Right. What do you all think? You know, who else has some ideas about this? Because this is something that I, you know, it's kind of been on my heart, and I wanted to share it with you all. And so I want to hear kind of what you have to say, too.
Well, I think that is our greatest argument, is that
it is
that especially those people. So for
these
right
are people
now,
who
then,
did not vote for McCain for the same reason. They did not vote for Bob Dole for the same reason. But they did come out and vote for Bush. They did not.
So,
they, you know what I'm
go
saying?
Ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. So now we have to spread the word. We have to get it out there that they need to back Rick so we have that voice at the convention.
Okay.
And that
we do
not allow Romney to get the 1144.
Right.
And then we have that voice.
We have a
broken convention, and then see what happens at that point. But for right now, we need to get very, very busy spreading the word and saying this is our chance. This is the power that we have. We need to stand up with a voice.
Sure. I would love to see. I am still hoping and praying. I do pray that in Pennsylvania, it turns out to be Santorum.
Yes.
I would love to see a lot of people stick it to Romney there.
Yes.
Right. And I agree about that, about the convention. That's why I'm really glad that you brought that up, because to speak the way that I am, some people it's turning off, some people get upset, but it's true that I agree with you that what Rick stood for in this campaign, the values, the ideas, and that includes Made in America, but it also includes a lot of things about values, about our religious freedom, about our freedoms in general, that we are not, we don't have a government right now that really, as Rick put it, trusts us with our freedoms. I think that you are correct that asking people to continue to vote their conscience, to continue to vote with what they love about Rick, which is the, like I said, the hard truths that he's able to give, but also the hopefulness that he talks about America's story and about what can happen if we strengthen our families, if we're able to build our businesses and allow our business people to bring people back into the system and back to work. I think that we should have our delegates be able to go in and speak to those issues by being able to be seated. I know it's not like a caucus where you speak, but that they're able to stand with Rick there and say, no, Mitt Romney, you didn't get the number of delegates, and this is what we would like in the conservative plank. And that is the many people have spoken. Many, many voters voted for Rick Santorum in this cycle, and they deserve to have a voice there. And that's what the delegates are for. And many other people still have an opportunity to be a part of that. And I encourage them to vote how they would love to vote. I just want people to know that these things are not mutually exclusive, that someone can say that they, like myself, I'm deferring who I'm going to vote for in November, but also to be able to say, please continue this movement. Please continue what you all have brought to us in the Tea Party. I don't speak for the Tea Party, but I am Tea Party. And I thank you. I thank you all for staying with Rick like you did, for coming from, many of you were with Mike Huckabee in the last campaign. You stayed aware and stayed active and now have brought us to where we are today. And I think that's a very positive thing. And why would we want to squander that with some, a lot of petty, perhaps petty things and very short-term thinking and very maybe loose friendships over just someone has, you know, has not been able to process what has happened yet. And I just want to caution people. That's you know, that was kind of what my message was. And if it wasn't clear, I apologize to anybody that I offended. But I truly do want Rick Santorum to have as much of an influence on where our country goes as possible. I mean, I wouldn't have worked
right.
as hard as I did, and a lot of you wouldn't have either, if you were just going to stop here. So what I say is, please do continue to vote so that Rick can get those delegates, and mm-hmm. and please continue to understand that some of us, though we have different views, though we aren't as fervent in some views as others, we still stand with you. I know I do, and many other Tea Party and many other other parts of conservatism do as well. And I would hate for that to be lost, and for that to not be able to continue after this election. That's what I wanted to get across, and I'm glad that you all spoke to give me the kind of courage to say it.
This is Mary. I don't quite agree with what you're saying about the Tea Party. I'm a Tea Partier too, and a social conservative, but I don't see much evidence of the Tea Party of 2010 right now. I have a friend who's a Tea Party leader, and she said there's a lot of fracture within the national Tea Party. And I've also
okay.
seen some Tea Party leaders that I know come out for Mitt Romney. So I am not encouraged by the structure of the Tea Party right now. Not that they didn't give a lot in the past and won't in the future,
right.
but I don't see if they're coming out for Mitt Romney, well, then they're not my kind of people. So it seems to me that it's going to be up to, I said this on a blog today, I think it was on National Grassroots, I said, you know, it's going to be up to us, we the people. We can't depend on any organization or any person, you know, because they're human and they're going to let us down. I'm feeling let down right now by my favorite conservative talk show host, Mark Levin, who was really holding Mitt Romney's feet to the fire, and he seems to kind of be coming around to, well, we've got to vote for him, anybody but Obama. So I'm feeling abandoned by him and by Rush Limbaugh. I just feel kind of lost because I used to listen to these people all day long, and or not all day long, but every day parts of it. And
sure.
I feel abandoned by them, and I feel abandoned by the Tea Party. So I don't have the same enthusiasm about
well,
it that you do.
Okay,
right now,
I
not that,
that
it can't be a winning entity again, but right now I think there's a lot of fracture. And as I said, it's beyond me that any Tea Party person would support Mitt Romney. That's just my personal
sure.
opinion.
No, I hear that, and I didn't get a chance to hear the Levin because it doesn't play here. Actually, it does now. It would actually be on right now in my they play it here locally in Cincinnati now. But I'll listen definitely now that you – I saw some posts about it, and now you mentioning it. I'm going to definitely listen to a replay of it. But to speak to the Tea Party, I'm heartened as well by some of those national leaders that you're talking about, people like a Nikki Haley, people like a Bob McDonald, people that you know, we were so excited about in 2010 to take out some of the rhinos, and you know that were you know, we would hope would not do this. Who knows?
Right.
There are many different reasons. Politics is a very strange thing. Makes very strange bedfellows, I guess is the
mm-hmm.
best way to put it. And I can't see into anyone's heart. And I definitely don't understand why someone like a Paul Ryan or a Marco Rubio would stand at a podium with Mitt. But as I say, you know, it's a very strange thing. There are many calculations that go into those things, as you would well probably know.
Well, this is the deal with the Tea Party that I know here in Iowa is, and this is how they try presenting it to us, is they feel that they have enough of a foot in the door with the RNC that no matter what they say, the RNC is going to bow down and do it. So if they have Mitt Romney in office, they're concentrating mainly on congressional and Senate seats right now. But even if they have Mitt Romney in office, they will get their way. They think that they'll be able to make sure Mitt Romney knows his next election, he'll lose because of them.
Well, that's just not going to happen. Mitt Romney has no use for the Tea Party or for conservatives. He's not one himself, and he will throw the Tea Party under the bus before his nomination papers are even dry. So if they think that, they're mistaken. What they need to do is stand up for what their values and the Founding Fathers' principles are and not be concerned or put their hopes on what Mitt Romney's going to do or not do.
Definitely. Mary, as long as you're on the phone, I want to ask you something about Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually concerned about the recall.
Well, we all are. We're kind of, all shaking in our boots a little bit. But I feel confident that Scott Walker's going to be reelected.
You think it's going to be a high turnout like it was for Judge Prosser?
It'll be a high turnout from Republicans and conservatives, yes. I don't think the other side is going. I don't know what the percentage is going to be. I'd love to say he's going to win by 5% or 7%. Let's just put it this way. Those of us who are, doing internals and that kind of thing are cautiously optimistic that he will win and that he's not going to lose. And it's interesting that you bring it up because as this race goes, so goes the rest of the country, we think.
Exactly.
It's very, very significant. So thanks for asking, and we're all working really hard. And, it's just really frustrating to think that this whole thing is costing $100 million.
Yeah, I know.
Between
it's
the
terrible.
Two sides. I that's a whole other topic, recalls.
See, the thing I see as an outsider looking in, and
mm-hmm.
I see, because I used to live in Wisconsin, I'm from Beaver Dam. But
I can tell.
Mom,
you have a little bit of a Wisconsin accent.
That's what everyone tells me. They say you have that Canadian swag. But what happened is my mom, she voted for Scott Walker, and now she tells me, oh, well, definitely I wanted to be the first name on the list to recall him, even though she never signed. And I got really mad. I'm like, Mom, this guy's doing the thing that I left Wisconsin because I was a right-to-work state. And I managed a business there, and I kept telling them, as a union, to stop bugging me. They kept bugging me. And I'm like, I'm not even the owner of this business. Leave me alone. And I was just the manager. And I said, I'm done with it. I want to live in a right-to-work state. So I moved to Iowa. And that's what I see possibly happening in Wisconsin, and I would love to move back. But mm-hmm. when I hear stuff like what my mom said, I get a little bit like, come on, if you want me to move back, Mom, come on, don't do this to me.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't know what's motivating her, but the people I know are all voting for Scott Walker. So,
my brother is a firefighter, and his choice happens to be that firefighter. He wants to vote for him for lieutenant governor. My sister happens to be a teacher, and she's not even a union teacher. But
mm-hmm.
my sister's like very I want to say union-oriented. She's very pro-union. And I'm not happy with it, but, I know how my mom lets her. She's the baby and everything, so she's a little bit more in tune with my mom, too. I'm not even there anymore, so I don't really talk to her as much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very concerned about that race because I think it is going to change the nation if he wins again.
And we've got about 4 more minutes. So what I'd love to do, and then I'm going to have a song at the end. If we can kind of round up a little bit, I'm going to start with Emily. If you have some closing thoughts, just a couple minutes, like a minute or so, about kind of what's going on and something hopeful, hopefully for the future. Emily,
you have on hold.
Oh, whoops. I'm sorry, Emily. I had you on hold. Go ahead. Because it was kind of, your background is kind of noisy. I'm sure you understand that. So just a minute, what you're thinking of for the future here for Rick and for the rest of us.
I'm probably being repetitive. Just, people need to stay together, stick together, and remember what we built and have respect for each other instead of attacking each other. And you know, if anybody told me that I wasn't a Rick supporter anymore, I would just, you know, reference, you know, coming home and peeling my shoes off and peeling socks off that were drenched wet with slush. You know, I'd say, you know, I don't think, you know, that I'm not a Rick supporter if I was out in that kind of inclement weather getting signatures so he could be on the ballot in Indiana. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would be really insulted by that.
Sure, and thank you so much for all of that. You worked so hard, and you know, and you, of course, you went up to Illinois and went to all those events and everything, and you know, God bless you for that. To you know, because even, you know, any person that was up there for him, it, I'm sure it was very heartening for him and his family. So thank you so much for that, and thanks for taking part in the show too. Thank you, Emily.
You know, I just kind of kick myself every once in a while because, you know, when I, you know he didn't get Virginia, I have family in Virginia. I'm like, if I would have gotten involved earlier, maybe I could have made the difference. And sometimes I think about that, and it kind of gets me upset. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you have a great, thank you so much. I'll put you back on hold, and I'll put everybody on hold when
well, I
want
to just say
that.
To Emily, she should call in and talk to Brenda on Women Patriots one of these days because she did the same exact thing in Indiana.
Yeah,
true.
I
yeah, you can talk to
so.
She knows her. Okay, well, go ahead. We got to get quickly to everybody. Mary, if you have any last, just a few, like 20-30 seconds, what you forward going forward, what we should do.
Well, I just want to say thank you for being here, and for me discovering this show, and some of you on the Grassroots for Santorum website. I have to be with healthy people. I have to be with people who think as much like me as possible. I have to stay up, and this is one way to do it. So I just thank all of you for being here, and it's nice to meet you.
Great. God bless you. Thank you so much. And please definitely listen to the show again, or you know, tune into Billy.
Listen to Abomination tomorrow night.
Abomination, yeah.
Okay.
Tomorrow. Have a great night. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And Danny, what are your words of wisdom?
Oh, let's take back the House and Senate, or keep the House and take back the Senate.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks. Have a great night, Danny. Thank you so much. And Brittany, what are your thoughts? I guess you just said, I don't know if you got a chance to talk. Brittany, we had lost your call, but you're back on with us. So what are your thoughts? Just a couple, you know, like 20, 30 seconds. What do you think?
I think that we need to, for one, follow, like what Rick was saying, you know, the congressional candidates, local candidates. The presidential isn't the only thing that we need to worry about. I mean, we need conservatives in all aspects of government, you know, because getting a conservative president won't do much if everyone else is really liberal. And then again, I mean, just as I said earlier, trust God and know that whatever happens, He has a plan in the works. And we might not see it yet, but we will eventually.
That's right. Thank you. And again, thank you so much for taking the time to call in. And God bless you, too. You have a really great night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Deborah, and then we'll go to our wonderful co-host, Billy. Go ahead, Deborah. Just a, you know, just like a couple, 20, 30 seconds, anything you have for us.
I'm very encouraged, and I just think we need to go forward. I think the dust will settle, and
right.
If we stay positive and strong and lead, the people will follow, and that's what we just need to keep doing and keep our eyes, as Brittany says, keep our eyes on the Lord, stay in the Word, stay encouraging each other, staying praying for each other, and when one of us gets discouraged or weak, the rest of us go and pick up.
That's right.
Encourage that person.
Thank you, Deborah, so much for taking part in the show, and God bless you, too. And we'll all stay positive. Thank you so much.
Okay. God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Billy, just, you know, a few seconds here just to close up the show. Thank you again for being a wonderful co-host today on a special, different kind of night. And just a couple of positive things from
Absolutely.
You, and then I'll go ahead and close the show. Thank you so much.
Well, it was no problem helping you out tonight, Becca. I was going to call you Brenda, Brecca.
close.
But
he always calls me Brenda or Billy, so that's normal.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's my pleasure, though. What I want to say more than anything is, you know, I agree with every sentiment about trusting in the Lord. The Lord has our back, you know, no matter what. We fall down and He picks us up. It's all you know, we have to be like him. And when she brought up followers, that's what we have to do. We need to get
right.
out there. We need to preach it. We need to teach it. We need to make sure that people know it. And I also want to welcome everyone to join me tomorrow night on Obamanation. And we will, I'm discussing all the different abominations of this presidency and what's taking place in our country that is going down the tubes. But anyway,
okay.
back to you, Becca.
Thank you, Billy. And you all have a great night. Thanks again for joining Santorum Soldiers of Patriotism. This is the very last show. And thank you so much for being with us. And God bless you all. And you have a great night out there in America.
Thank you.
Like la la.